Is your appetite sometimes out of control? Are you unable to stop eating even when you're full? Download our new Intelligent Medicine video, Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food. There's a physiological basis for food addiction. The food industry has gripped our brains using powerful food science. Find out what we can do about it. Go to drhoffman.com to download this important video. We will arm you with proven strategies to change your eating behavior forever. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is an episode of Layla Weighs In. Layla is me, Layla Mutin, the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. I have my own podcast now. I'm thrilled to be doing this because there's lots of news and information regarding nutrition and health and wellness that I want to share with you on a weekly basis. I get a lot of patients and clients coming in asking me, what are the best fats to use for cooking? So I want to set the record straight on what are healthy fats and unhealthy fats. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of information out there. Unfortunately, much of it is misinformation or disinformation, and I'm particularly troubled that the American Heart Association is still touting vegetable oils, which are very high in omega-6 pro-inflammatory fatty acids, as very healthy. They are not healthy. We are still being told that vegetable oils are much better or much healthier than the saturated fats we would otherwise be using in our cooking, you know, such as coconut oil, butter, things of that nature, lard, tallow, all of those. Vegetable oils indeed are not because of the pro-inflammatory omega-6 fat content. In our standard American diet, we have an overabundance of omega-6 sources of fats, primarily the grains. And many of our grains and seeds are used to extract these vegetable oils. I'm talking about corn oil, canola oil, safflower, sunflower seed oil, all of these oils are extracted using a process. Do you want to know what the process is? And then next time you will think twice, maybe by the end of this podcast, before buying that bottle of corn oil or canola oil, sunflower oil at your local grocery store. The exact way that these oils are extracted from plants, corn oil, sunflower, safflower, all of those that I mentioned, soybean oil, which is in abundance in our country. It's in all the mayonnaise, and we grow more soybeans than ever, and most of it now is GMO, but that's a different topic. Let me come back. The way these vegetable oils are extracted is through a lot of heat. There's heat extraction. There's often a nickel catalyst, which is a metal that's introduced into the extraction. Once this crude vegetable oil has been extracted, it has to then undergo a degumming process. There are plant gums that need to be removed. Then this oil, you're pretty much left with something that's opaque, maybe slightly gray in color, certainly not the clear stuff that you're getting in the grocery store, because we're not there yet. We're still going through the processing of this oil after it's been extracted. So the degumming process, and now we're left with an opaque or grayish color oil. This now has to be bleached. Yes, your oil, your vegetable oil, has to go through a bleaching process and then a dewaxing process. If this oil is becoming a hydrogenated oil, as in Crisco, it also goes through a post-bleaching process and other things like fractionization, blending, all of that. Fractionation is what I meant to say. But your regular liquid vegetable oil in the grocery store, after being bleached and dewaxed, now it looks a little better. it's less opaque. It's kind of the color that they're trying to get to, these vegetable oil processors. But now they come to, you know, it doesn't smell very good. And this is the product they're left with. So the answer to that, to further the process of this vegetable oil before it hits the grocery store shelves, is to deodorize it. Yes, it is now being deodorized. So that oil in your salad dressing, whether it's a bottled salad dressing, whether you're using some canola or some corn oil or safflower, or if you enjoy sunflower oil or anything like that, this has gone through a caustic refining using high heat and a metal catalyst. It has also undergone bleaching and possibly post-bleaching, degumming, de-waxing, blending, and it's undergone deodorization. Do you really want to ingest this stuff? I sure don't. Anyway, so maybe you'll think twice before you buy that bottled salad dressing because it's gone through all of that. Now, the truth about polyunsaturated oils is that these oils are also very highly reactive, and especially under high heat. Think about the process I just told you about in making that vegetable oil. It goes through a high heat process. That is already rendering it highly reactive, unstable. So not is this vegetable oil only full of too much omega-6, but it's also now highly reactive, unstable, and absolutely can cause inflammation in the body if ingested. Now, one of my favorite books, I call it a textbook here in my library in my office at the Hoffman Center, is a book by Mary Enig, who is a world-known biochemist and nutritionist and the foremost expert on fats and oils, particularly in the food industry. She has a wonderful book called Know Your Fats. And any of my colleagues or anybody who calls me who wants to learn more about fats in greater detail, scientifically, all of that, this is a must-have book by Mary Enig, PhD, called Know Your Fats. And I'm quoting her from this book. The truth about polyunsaturated oils is that, as I said earlier, these oils are highly reactive. They're unstable. When they're subjected to heat or oxygen, as in the extraction, processing, and cooking, free radicals are formed. Mary Enig continues to say, it is these free radicals, not saturated fats, that can initiate cancer and heart disease. As such, industrially processed polyunsaturated oils such as corn, safflower, soy, sunflower oils, cottonseed, which is one of the worst, should be strictly avoided. Now, get this. She goes on to say that science has shown that even when cold-pressed polyunsaturated oils are consumed in anything but small amounts, they can still contribute to many disease conditions, including increased risk of cancer, heart disease, immune system dysfunction, damage to the liver, reproductive organs and lungs, digestive disorders, diminished learning ability, impaired growth, and weight gain. So, this is another reason not to use these vegetable oils. Another thing is the use of olive oil. We love olive oil. We love it when it's first cold pressed. We love it when it's extra virgin. But guess what? We don't want to be using it in cooking, at least for not high heat cooking or for long cooking. Mary Enig says don't cook with it or use as little as possible for cooking. Although these monounsaturated oils like olive oil are more stable than the polyunsaturates for cooking, the high amount of oleic acid may create some imbalances in the body. We want to use them as a salad dressing or to drizzle them on vegetables after cooking. That is really the way to use olive oil. In fact, fats and oils that do not oxidize readily or are consumed before they can oxidize in their original packaging, such as in the seeds and plants, That's really the healthy way to use oil. You don't want them to go through this extraction process. You don't want to use these oils that have been extracted in an unhealthy way, whether it's walnut oil, cotton, you know, sunflower, safflower, any of these. When they're left in their original packaging, they're not subject to oxidize. They're not subject to become rancid or volatile. It's the extraction from the seed or plants that cause the oxidation and rancidity. So you know what, folks, and especially chefs out there, they're not going to like this. We really have to reevaluate the way we cook. Because these vegetable oils are so highly volatile, especially when subjected to heat and cooking, let me remind you, this propagates oxidation and free radicals. And by the way, I hear from a lot of you and from a lot of chefs as well that if you want to cook under high heat, use grapeseed oil, right? You've heard that. Grapeseed oil is great. It has a very high smoke point. I believe it's somewhere in the ballpark of about 400 degrees. That's why chefs and cooks and foodies love to use grapeseed oil when they're frying or sauteing, because of this smoke point. It doesn't start to smoke until the heat gets very high. But guess what? Grapeseed oil is an omega-6 bomb. There's too much omega-6 in the grapeseed oil. So we really have to reconsider, reevaluate how we cook. We want to not cook, and we want to not use oils in our cooking so much. We certainly don't want to deep fry. We don't want to be making fried chicken in a skillet, using vegetable oils anyway. We don't want to cook this way. You even want to reconsider how you saute your vegetables. It has to be a very quick saute if you're going to use these oils. Or what you could do instead is braise in some water, a little bit of water, so it's undergoing a little bit of a steaming cooking process. You could still add your garlic and your spices, and then towards the end of cooking, you could drizzle in your olive oil or your favorite oil, flavored oil that you might enjoy. So we want our fats and oils to be eaten before they can oxidize in their original packaging, such as in the seeds and the plants that they came in. So do reconsider the use of vegetable oils. Now, I want to talk now about saturated fats, because people are still coming in and telling me they're afraid to eat their eggs because of the saturated fat and the cholesterol and all of that. But guess what? This has all been debunked, because saturated fatty acids can be very, very beneficial to human health. Fats are not fattening, first of all. The reason fats have been implicated by nutritionists and dietitians in the past is that fats have a lot of calories. It's 9 calories per gram, as opposed to protein and carbohydrates, which are only 4 calories a gram. Of course, if you're going to overeat your calories, we can gain weight and we will become fat. However, this is not what I'm getting at in this podcast. I'll be talking to you about the metabolic fate of calories in a future podcast, so be sure to stay tuned. Our metabolism is influenced by the percentage of our macronutrients in our diet. That actually influences our rate of metabolism. High fat and high protein will actually burn more fat rather than high carbohydrate. Now, fatty acids, are they really the bad guy? They're really not, because a lot of them can be very beneficial. Let me name some. Lauric and butyric acid, these are some of the short chain fats which are found in butter and coconut oil. These fats, these saturated fats, contain anti-carcinogenic, antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-protozoal properties, anti-parasite properties. Can really help to keep your gut healthy. Stearic acid, another saturated fat, is found in meats and dairy products. And their impact on cholesterol is actually nil or neutral or lowering. Palmitic acid, another saturated fat found in palm oil and in meats and dairy products in much smaller amounts, can raise LDL cholesterol, but they also raise HDL. And here's the other thing about saturated fats. Even though you're avoiding them in your diet, right, because you were told that's the way to go, well, it's not the way to go because we have a conundrum. I'm quoting again Mary Enig from Know Your Fats. Here's our conundrum. Human and other animals make palmitic acid and stearic acid, which are the saturated fatty acids, out of the carbohydrates and the proteins that we eat. And these saturated fatty acids are changed to monounsaturated fatty acids to maintain desirable physiological balances. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that it doesn't matter the amount of saturated fats you eat, because even if you don't eat any, your body is still going to manufacture them from the other foods that you eat, the other proteins and carbohydrates you eat. Why, you may ask? Because saturated fats are critical to our health. They're critical for the structural stability and integrity of our cell membranes. They stimulate our immunity in a good way. They are the preferred food for heart and all of our vital organs. They help to properly utilize our essential fatty acids. Our saturated fats and protein, by the way, are needed for the proper utilization of calcium. We need saturated fats for the utilization of calcium in our bones. Saturated fats, especially stearic acid, which is found in meat, dairy, and some chocolate, can lower lipoprotein little a. You know about lipoprotein little a, right? It's an independent risk factor for coronary artery disease. Now, saturated fats also depend on what we're eating, certainly, but let me give you some more on the lowdown on saturated fats here. The human body makes saturated fatty acids because they're required. For some people, the fats in the diet are either too polyunsaturated or too low. But unprocessed natural saturated fats, unprocessed natural saturated fats like in our grass-fed butter, in our grass-fed meats, in our poultry, in our eggs, all of that, in our some in our nuts and seeds that may be saturated, are shown to be beneficial to health and metabolism. And the best sources are our grass-fed meats, poultry, butter, and coconut oil. Now, we depend on our enzyme mechanisms to go through to actually properly biochemically convert into our fats that we consume into the proper essential fatty acids that we need. Now, in the omega-6 family, we do have some good beneficial omega-6 fats coming from borage oil, coming from black currant oil or evening primrose oil. But these particular fats are dependent on the enzyme delta-6 desaturase, delta-5 desaturase. These enzymes are also dependent on proper nutrition. We need sufficient amounts of vitamin B6, we need magnesium, and we need zinc. We also need, for some of the other desaturase enzymes, enough vitamin C, niacin, and what the omega-6 family is supposed to do is convert to arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid, wait a minute, isn't that pro-inflammatory? Yes, it can be, but you know what? We need some good inflammation for our immune system. And the benefits of the omega-6 are hormone regulation, our skin health, and it's an immune modulator. It modulates the good prostaglandins. That's really what we're looking for in the omega-6. Okay, so having the proper nutrition helps, but because in our American diet we're getting too much omega-6, what happens is these enzymes can turn beneficial small amounts of arachidonic acid into its illegitimate children, one might say. I'm quoting Susan Allport from a wonderful book called The Queen of Fats, which came out in 2006. Because we're getting too much omega-6 in our diet, the arachidonic acid is actually turning into a form of arachidonic acid that isn't very beneficial to us at all. So it's very, very important that we get the proper nutrition and that we're not getting too many omega-6 sources. And we're talking about your vegetable oils. That's really what we're talking about. Saturated fats, as I said, are very, very beneficial. I've talked to you today about the process of extracting vegetable oils and all the refining and the deodorization and the degumming and the bleaching, for crying out loud. So next time you go to your grocery store looking for a bottle of Wesson or canola or even a bottle of sunflower or safflower oil, you will probably rethink. Look at the color of that oil. It's a light, pale yellow color. It took quite a bit of processing and refining to get there. So you really want to rethink that. I'll be talking more about the benefits of saturated fats and their proper utilization, how we should use them in cooking, their benefits in a future podcast. So thank you for listening to me today. I have weighed in on the detriments of our polyunsaturated vegetable oils, and hopefully one day soon, American Heart will stop touting them as heart-healthy fats, because indeed, they are not. This is Layla on Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast.